Hezbollah is speaking. Said Hassan Nasrallah. Let's listen up.
We are not on high alert. We are not careful. We are also being very careful. This is our state. We, throughout 24 hours a day in all areas and all front lines, we are ready. However, this is what happens. There's a lot of noise, all these shouts and these talks. This is an indicator that usually with the Israelis, that what they're trying to do is only psychological warfare, only trying to deter the resistance and the others in the resistance alliance in order to stop them from launching any sort of operation. The visit of the chief of staff, the Israeli, the American chief, U.S. chief of staff, when he visited the Zionist entity, what was this in much light? What was this for? This is when we're talking about analysis here. We're not talking about information. We do not have information. What we're seeing here is has to do with the upcoming months and years. There is the Trump administration, which is leaving. There will be a new administration, which is coming. This new administration, we know for now, up and now, has a different way of looking into things when it comes to the Palestinian issue and to the issue of the struggle, the Israeli-Arab-Israeli conflict. They might have a different position in some issues. For example, some are saying that they are for a two-state solution. This is one thing that Trump had completely canceled along with Netanyahu. They are not with the details in the deal of the century. For example, they have different methods of dealing with those or different opinions on those issues. Also on the issue of the nuclear agreement with Iran as well, they have a different viewpoint. This is something that the Israelis are fearsome of. But we can say or presume that there is an Israeli government that is worried or concerned about the upcoming U.S. administration, the upcoming president which is coming. Here, we're not talking about the state Secretary of State. We know that the chief of staff usually stays. He's not going to change. Would he be the same? No, I think that I calculate or I presume that he is coming for a message, not to Trump, but a lesson or a message from the Biden administration to tell the Israelis that they should be at ease and they should not be concerned. We say that not in Lebanon or Syria or Iraq. Do you not think that there would be some sort of an operation or something that would come, not as a retaliation from Trump, but in order to try to turn the tables? Perhaps you had believed in this, that there would be an Arab alliance, that where he's living in a state where he needs some sort of initiative. And he feels, Trump feels, that you are in a state of weakness. This is what he says. He says you are in a state of weakness. Sometimes the media or some sides of the media are part of the psychological war. They try to show issues as such, but when we talk about reality, in fact, actuality does not show this. When we're talking about on the front lines and politically and even militarily, that situation is not as such. We can talk, of course, in detail about this in the interview. You're asking about information, but I want to be very precise. We do not have information on this, especially when we said, for example, that there was a nuclear submarine that was going towards from Israel to the Islamic Republic of Iran. We are not sure about this up until now. We cannot confirm. There's no such confirming of such information or such talk that we hear in the media. The Iranians denied, but even the Israelis said that I cannot deny, and I cannot also admit. If there is something that is true, then therefore this would be a huge issue. If we have a nuclear submarine, for example, this is big news. This is very significant news. I can say that we're perhaps from some friends or some sides that consider themselves security sources. They can say, for example, that we have to be careful. There could be assassinations and so on. But if I want to be personally precise, everything that has been said up until now, or only analysis, only maybe logical analysis of the situations, but no one has clear intelligence, very important intelligence, that there would be some sort of a security event that could happen in this, in the near future. Could happen, could not happen. More than what has happened, that might be some sort of also near our coast as well, that there would be an Israeli operation here or there. We have absolutely no information. We know that nothing of the sort has happened. Are you sure? No sort of Israeli invasion or violation of that area. Although usually I follow up these issues in detail, and still I called our the sides that are, of course, concerned. We're talking about the sides inside Hezbollah that are really operating and monitoring those areas. They said no, for sure, that there's nothing there. What we read in the papers is something, whether it is based on information. Up until now, what we have so far is not something that we have information about, especially when we have the Israelis. Of course, the Israelis are on high alert. They're concerned. They're still standing on one foot. We don't see, from everything that we have and everything that we've been given, that we have there, that there could be an operation or that there was an operation. We see daily, we hear daily statements. If you kill one of our soldiers, we will do on. So they were threatened. They say they'll do this and that. They're still talking about a response to the retaliation, to a possible retaliation for the resistance. But up until now, we have absolutely nothing that is drawn. If you may, please, if there's anyone that tell you that they will be targeting you, yes, more than one side, more than one source, especially in the latest, recently, this happened directly after the assassination of Qasem Soleimani. There was a certain atmosphere, more than one country, more than one side, more than one source, and they said that in the next phase, they will start focusing on X, and the X was me. That I would be, even before Qasem Soleimani, when he used to come to Lebanon, and we used to meet, he used to always stress, he'd tell me, be careful, you need to be careful, for you're always the target of their assassinations, and so on. Just before the presidential, the U.S. presidential election also, we were told that the Trump needed, of course, more cards to use and bargaining chips, so that they would need to launch more assassinations. And one of the main targets is you, as I was told by the sources. The U.S. Elections are done, even after the U.S. election. Many said that you need to be careful until the 20th of January. We will continue, of course, with the precautionary measures even after January 20. But even whether Trump was there or Trump wasn't there, the targeting continues. Whether it is the American or is it the American or the Israeli? It's both the Americans or the Israelis. Sayyid Nasrallah, you consider yourself that you are a target not only of the Israelis, but also the U.S.? Yes, of course. I am one of the leaders of the resistance alliance. I'm their target. And everyone speaks about these are mainly an Israeli target. If, for example, Hajimad Mughniya, God bless his soul, everything, all the information that we had, despite everything that the information that he had and many had said in the media as well, that it was clear that the assassination that took place against Hajimat Mughni was both a joint U.S.-Israeli assassination and not only an Israeli, because the targeting Hezbollah is American-Israeli. Both is a joint U.S.-Israeli effort, and I can even say that it's a joint U.S.-Israeli-Saudi effort, because it's not just an issue of struggle with Israel, but it's also the project, the U.S. hegemony, and there the U.S. project in the region here is working against it. He is deterring all these projects. He is also taking part in defeating that project, and this is why we can see it. Are you saying it's Saudi Arabia is also planning your assassination? This has been the case for a very long time, since the war started against Yemen, at least since then. Excuse me, is this analysis or is this information? No, this is information. This is intelligence that we have. I was told from sources, I cannot say what the sources are or who the sources are, that from first visit that was done by Mohammed bin Salman to the United States after the election of Trump, the meeting that took place, one of the files that Mohammed bin Salman was trying to get approval on was, and he was also calling on the U.S. to launch that, to conduct it himself, was an assassination which targets me personally. And since that time, after the visit of Mohammed bin Salman, more than one side sent me precautionary measures to be careful and say that you are a target of assassinations. And this information said, or added, that the Americans said that we will keep this for the Israelis, and that the Saudi side said, because there was a discussion, there was a debate that this issue could lead to a war or not, Mohammed bin Salman said, we are ready to pay the price of any war that would come. If the price of killing Hussein Nasrallah would lead to a war, then we are ready to pay the price for a war. And of course, this is what the Trump, their friend, says this about them. They only care about money. This is all they have. They have money. So since they have money, therefore, this theory is very realistic. It's very real. And are you saying the Americans agreed to this Saudi demand? Yes, this is what we were told last time. What I can say right now, that for the last 5 years, you have been the target of assassination through a Saudi demand, U.S. approval, on the basis that the Israelis would conduct this assassination. This is the information, the intelligence that we have, and based on that, we are taking our measures. This is the first time that I hear this. It's the first time that you tell me this, Sayyid Nasrallah, and we hear this in the media. Not calling on you to name those sources, but can you tell us that these sides are friends or foes? Are they Western? They are both Western and Eastern from more than one side. Does the Saudi know that if they went towards that, the assassination, what this might result in, and would the resistance, and the resistance is ready to respond? What I understand from the Saudis, especially in the last few years, is that Saudis do not act according to their mind. They do not. What sort of mentality? Take for example the war on Yemen. What cause? What type of mind is it based on? We're talking about 2,100 years, days. It's only based on hatred, this war. And their problem with us, the problem is not just in Lebanon, it's a problem in the entire region. Their problem is with all the resistance forces. And the last thing that we're talking about, the last decade. The Saudi Arabia is clearly, everybody knows, they are the ones who have launched this terrorism, the Wahhabi Takfiri terrorism. They are the ones who armed them. Everybody knows in Iraq that it is Saudi Arabia. We know for now that there are many Saudi young men who are in Iraqi jails, thousands of Saudis. We're not talking about 100, 200, or 300. Thousands of Saudis conducted suicide bombings in the last few years in Iraq. Against who? Against innocent civilians, men, women, children, churches, and mosques, and Hosseiniya, in shops, and markets. What is this? Is this a political program? No, it's just hatred. It's hatred. And they base on that hatred a political program. And of course, no, I believe that they have no calculations. They have no thinking in this. They have money, and they can solve everything in money. This massacre that they are committing inside Yemen, at the end of the day, I have money. I can talk about, for example, rebuilding Yemen, and that's it. And they can ask, as a result of this, that they want their political result inside Yemen. This is what's happening all over the world. Can we say that the assassination of Haj Qasem Soleimani is definitely American? It was conducted by the U.S., but is it part of a project, this tripartite project? This is what you think? Yes, I believe that this was a project based on the three partners and sides. The Israelis were calling on this, the Saudis as well. They wanted this assassination. Perhaps there are others. we believe that who also were calling for this assassination, were pushing for this assassination. So therefore, the side that was able to take on such an operation, assassination, was Trump himself, and to bear those consequences and to bear the price. And therefore, this crime is not only a U.S. crime. It's not only an American crime. Then it is what? It is a crime that has partners. I believe the Israelis are partners in this crime, and the Saudis are also partners in this crime. And even if it was just to pay from the side of paying money or pushing for this assassination, perhaps the Saudis had were also partners. The Israelis were also giving intelligence and so on. The Saudis only have money to give. That's all they have. They don't have intelligence to give. Was this assassination? It was not very difficult, if we want to be honest. Hash Qasim from Damascus to Baghdad. And of course, he was very open. He was not undercover. Were there some details, some facts that perhaps you can give us in order to build this puzzle and understand what happened? What we have here is an open operation. It happened at night, but it was very clearly as if it happened in the middle of the day. We know exactly who conducted this assassination. We know that the Air Force that conducted this assassination, the movement of Hash Qasim, the clear U.S. recognition of them being the responsible side. This is very different than other than Hajj Imad Mughniye and the assassination of our brother Fakhrizada. This is very similar to Sayyid Abbas Musawi's assassination. It was in the middle of the day of daylight. It was an Israeli strike, clearly on his convoy. This was very clear. It was very clear that they had taken a decision. They wanted to declare that they were the ones who were responsible. We saw also with Trump, in more than one occasion, he would say that I killed Qasem Soleimani. In his election campaign, yes, he used to mention it in every single statement almost or speech. Sayyid Nasrallah, you know Hash Qasim very well. I asked you before, do you know him? And you said, yes, I know him. He's a beloved brother and so on. After his assassination also, you spoke in detail about this issue. 1 year later, how would you describe Hash Qasim Soleimani, a human being on the front lines, on the ground? This requires several episodes, not one single episode. This requires a long talk about Hash Qasim. But in any case, even now, this statement, of course, in a few days, on the anniversary of his martyrdom, I will give a speech on this issue and give the details, of course. Hajj Qasim Soleimani, God bless his soul, was a personality, was as a human being in his ethics and his values, he was exemplary. And one of the main reasons for his success in all the fronts and all the fields was this humane and ethical figure and personality. I know, of course, he is known as a military figure. A military figure would have a certain personality. The generals are also, they have this perhaps personality protocols, and they speak, they're very, you know, professional and very, but what if it's a general who has a very high-ranking position, like in the Islamic Republic of Iran, which is a power, a major power, a superpower in the region. But this is found, of course, all over the place. That from the very first moment when you meet Hash Qasim Soleimani, only in the next half hour or so, you will discover that you are sitting with a brother, with a beloved friend, with someone whom you feel as if you've known him for ages. This is a very exceptional issue. Not every single person has this charisma, this capability, this good dealing with people. He is some people, of course, would be arrogant. They would try to be humble. They pretend that they're pretentious and so on. No, he is in himself. He is naturally humble. He is ready to sacrifice for the...
Well, you've been looking at this interview of the Secretary General of the Lebanese Resistance Movement, Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, talking about some very important issues. Of course, talking about what is happening in the region and the possibility of this new American administration and what may or may not happen, basically, that they are the same, but different techniques, perhaps, from a Trump and a Biden administration. He talked about certain rumors that are touched upon in the media. He said some of them he was not aware of as far as actually having information or intelligence about it, such as a nuclear submarine from Israel going to Iran. He says he does not have information about that. However, he touched on other issues that he said that he has information on. And the journalists asked him if Hezbollah was on high alert. He says basically they are always on high alert, and that he knows, though, that the Israelis are also on high alert and being very cautious. And he talked about the journalists asked him about assassination attempts, or assassination being targeted, actually. And he talked about, he said that he knows when Imad Mughniyeh was assassinated, that it was a joint American-Israeli operation along with Saudi input. And he also said that after Trump was elected, when Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia went to Washington, he asked directly, he told them that he wanted to target Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. The Americans said, we will let the Israelis take care of that. The Saudis said, if you're worried about the ramifications or if there's a war due to his assassination, that they were ready to pay the price. And he says, basically, we can say that it was a Saudi demand, the U.S. approved it, and it was Israel to carry out that assassination on Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. And the reporter says, well, do you think that the Saudis would realize what would happen if they did such a thing? And he says, well, we see that the Saudis don't think. Otherwise, they would not be involved in Yemen in the way they are. And because they have money, they feel that they can do anything, whatever they want, and the money can pay for it. And he says, but it is a collusion. These are partners in crimes, the Americans, the Israelis, the Saudis, and others in the region. Well, that's been a short cap of what the Secretary General of Hezbollah has said, and of course in other news bulletins we'll be talking more about that interview. Thank you so much for being with us. I'll be back shortly with the debate.